Can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Acts chapter 10, verses 47 and 48. Welcome to Salvation Essentials. I am your host, Mark Parker. The setting is the home of a Roman centurion by the name of Cornelius at about 3 hours after noon. An angel appeared to him in a vision, calling him by name. The angel informed the soldier that his prayers and alms had come up as a memorial before God. The angel gave further instructions as worded in the New King James Version. Now send men to Joppa, and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. Notice the angel said Peter would tell Cornelius what he must do. The King James Version rendering of this reads, "He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do." The New King James Version use of the phrase, "what you must do," is accurate, for the word translated oughtest in the King James Version means it is necessary, according to Strong's Greek Dictionary. According to Help Word Studies, the word oughtest means absolutely necessary and signifies what must happen. So the angel said that Peter would tell Cornelius what was absolutely necessary. Peter would not come to offer his opinion, give advice, or let Cornelius decide what needed to be done. Peter would come to Cornelius's house to tell him what must be done. Cornelius had a full understanding of this, in that when he related to Peter the event of the vision, he said, "Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." Acts chapter 10, verse 33. Cornelius did not expect Peter to give him non-essentials. He anticipated hearing commands. To receive a command is to receive an order. Cornelius was expecting God to give orders through the words of Peter. I believe it is evident in the text that God had already been at work in the life of Cornelius. He had been devout, God-fearing, generous, and prayerful. He was also obedient to the vision. The Apostle Peter recognized him as one who feareth God and worketh righteousness. The fruit of repentance was manifest in the deeds of Cornelius. Peter introduced Cornelius and his household to Jesus Christ, having been slain but risen from the dead, and that Jesus was ordained to be the judge of the living and the dead, and according to the prophets, remission of sins would be through faith in his name. The account reveals in Acts 10:44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Those Jewish believers that had come with Peter were astonished, but could not deny that Cornelius and those of his house had received the same experience they had because they heard them speak with tongues. Peter then issued the command. It is the only command given by Peter to Cornelius recorded in Acts 10. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Verse 48. This was the order God needed Peter to give. Did not Jesus himself instruct in the Great Commission of Matthew 28, "Go ye therefore, teaching all nations, baptizing them? Did not Peter himself preach at Pentecost, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you"? Under the authority of God, Peter had the right and responsibility to command water baptism to those who had just received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For according to Jesus, being born of water and of the Spirit is necessary for entrance into the kingdom of God. John chapter 3, verse 5. Water baptism is not a suggestion. There is no option given. Obedience to the gospel is not complete without water baptism. According to Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, it is the believer's identification with the burial of Jesus Christ. Proper water baptism was so necessary in the early church that disciples of John were rebaptized in the name of the Lord Jesus after hearing Paul's teachings. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, emphasizing unity among believers, includes one baptism, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5, and the doctrine of baptisms is listed as one of the principles of the doctrines of Christ in Hebrews chapter 6. There were three people groups in the book of Acts that together represent all of humanity: the Jews, Samaritans, and Gentiles. All of these groups obediently were baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a representation of every one of you that Peter said in Acts 2:38. Water baptism is not only for the Jew, but for all mankind, because Jesus died once for all. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. In Peter's first letter, he compared the role of water in saving Noah's family with the role of water baptism in the church. Specifically, the eight people in Noah's family were saved by water. The same water that was the agent of destruction for unbelievers was the agent of salvation for Noah and his family. The water caused the ark to float above the worldwide destruction. It might be protested that it was actually the ark that saved Noah and his family, but Peter's emphasis was on water for the precise reason that he wished to draw a parallel between the salvation of Noah's family and the significance of water baptism in the new covenant. Cornelius expected to hear a command given through the Apostle Peter. The angel had prepared him for it. He would be told what he must do. The commandment to be baptized in the name of the Lord was issued. God has not changed. The message is the same today. Just as faith alone or repentance alone does not save anyone, water baptism alone will not save from sins. But in the New Testament salvation plan, it is something that must happen. Mark's rendering of the Great Commission states, "Jesus said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Peter issued baptism as a command. Cornelius received it as a salvation essential.